has hit those people pretty bad for the last 3 years. In fact, last year, one of these brethren, the drought cost him about $3,000 in his crop, in crop failure. And yet that brother put $10 into the work that night I was there. And so we received a blessing there. Then from Eastman, the next stop was Jacksonville. And in Jacksonville, there is a class that where the leader of the class believes that the harvest ended and the high calling closed way back in 1914 or 18. And during the meeting, during the discussion there, there was no doubt left, could be no doubt left in the minds of the brethren how we stand upon that subject, of whether the high calling is still open. After the meeting, one of the brethren insisted I come to his home for dinner. He had complimented the discourse that he had heard, and so as soon as we reached his home, he started in to try to convince me that we all are of the great company class or modern worthy class since 1918. And he asked me, what is the strongest proof that you have that we're still in the harvest time and that the high calling is open? Well, I said, in 1916, Brother Russell wrote an article called The Harvest Is Not Ended. And in that article, he says, we had thought that the work would be finished by this time, but the facts are to the contrary. The fact is that people are coming into the truth, consecrating and giving evidence of having the Holy Spirit. And so we rejoice that they too are enjoying the same blessing that we are. So I said to this brother, the facts are still to the contrary. I said, I know too many brethren who have come into the truth since those years who give evidence of having received the Holy Spirit. Well, afterward, I thought of a still better argument I might have used. I might have told him that the strongest evidence is that given by the Apostle Paul in the 11th chapter of Romans, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness, full number, a little flock of the Gentiles has come in. But I didn't think of it in time. But, dear friend, now I think you will agree with me that that's one of the strongest proofs that Israel is still blind. Therefore, the full number of the little flock has not yet come in from the Gentiles. That's one of the strongest proofs we have. Well, then from there, from Jacksonville, the next stop was Orlando, Florida. And there's a little class there where Brother and Sister Yike live. Brother and Sister Yike used to live in Roseburg, Oregon. When they were living in Roseburg, once they came to a convention in Seattle where we lived. Their four children were about the same age as our four children, and they stayed in our home. And so then, now their children are grown and married, have families, and our children are grown and married and also have families. So we stayed with Brother and Sister Yike there, and my wife came from Los Angeles, or Pasadena, and joined me at Jacksonville, and went along down to Orlando, and we were guests in the Yike home. We stayed there 2 days and enjoyed the blessed privilege of serving and fellowshipping with them. Then from Orlando, the next stop was Miami, and my wife went along there. And we were guests of Sister Anderson, Sister Amy Anderson, in Miami. We had the privilege of being there several days with the Miami Friends. That also is a class who are thoroughly grounded in the truth and who are trying to serve it and let their light shine. From there, our next stop was Tampa, Florida. There's no class and no truth people that we know of in Tampa, but we have a daughter there, and I spent about 10 days there, and Sister Swanson spent about 3 weeks or longer there. And while we were there, a niece with whom we stayed took us over to St. Petersburg. There's a class in St. Petersburg, and there we had the privilege of fellowship and service. And there is where Brother George Wilson lives. He has bought a home there, and he and Sister Wilson live in St. Petersburg. You know, he's the Ernest of the Frank and Ernest radio programs. After being in the Tampa district then, the next stop that I had was Waynesboro, Mississippi. Here we were in the deep south, Perhaps some of you know the conditions that the people in the South have. Their land is not has been farmed out, and their land does not produce very well. And they do not enjoy the higher standard of living that we have in the West and in the North. Here I was a guest out on a farm, and the meetings were held out on the farm. And there were about 15 or 20 came together. They came there in their leather jackets and their cowboy boots and their cowboy hats, and they met in that home. Now the majority of them are not consecrated, but they love the truth, and they seem to be waiting for restitution. And sometimes when we get so used to being with the brethren who are well versed in the truth, studying together and so forth, that it's hard to come down in our themes to the level where everybody can understand. So that was a blessed privilege of being with them and trying to help those brethren to a clearer understanding of the truth and a better appreciation of it. Now, in order to realize the condition that the friends, some of the friends out in the country in the South have, this was a room that was all sealed with ceiling lumber, ceiling and walls and all, and the doors inside were homemade, and there was a shotgun hanging up on the wall. So you see how some of our friends in the South, in what condition they have to their homes in which they live. Nevertheless, we received a blessing, and all the people in the South are courteous and hospitable. Sometimes I found it a little difficult to understand, because when some of those friends are born, brought up, marry, live, and die in the same community, their speech becomes localized, as it were, and a little bit hard to understand them. And they, on the other hand, they think we Northerners talk too fast. Well, then, from Waynesboro, our next stop was Mobile, then Lake Charles, Louisiana, then Houston and Galveston, Texas. At Houston, Texas, we were met by Brother Gillum and his wife. Brother Gillum had arranged to take us to Galveston, 45 miles away, for the first meeting. He was in one car with me. He took me in one car, and his wife was in another car with another sister. And they were to follow this car. But they got coming out of Houston, they became separated. So we drove on, and we didn't see anything of them. Well, we stopped when we came near Galveston, about 40 miles from Houston, and went into a restaurant for our lunch. It was noontime. And we came out and waited, and still the other car didn't come. So we drove on to Galveston, and when we reached the home of the sister there, where the meeting was to be, she said that she had gotten a telephone call that they had broke down halfway between Houston and Galveston. So we had to turn around without holding a meeting and drive back until we found them on the freeway, and hooked the cars together with a chain and started for home. Well, the chain broke when we went across the space between the two lanes of the freeway. So we fastened it together again, and I had my heart in my mouth all the way to Houston for fear that chain would break again. And it didn't break until we got within two blocks of the destination in Houston. Well, that meant there was no meeting in Galveston. But that night, Brother Gillum and Sister Rogers took me out in the country to see a colored people's family that were in the truth. Now you know in the South, the colored people don't meet together with the white people, nor the white people with the colored. So they felt especially honored in having white brethren come out to their home. And this colored brother is really a very handsome, very bright brother. And so while the talk was going on, every little while we'd hear, Amen, praise the Lord. And when the talk was over, we were standing around talking about this blessed truth and our relationship to it. And Brother Reed recited a poem of six stanzas about the six volumes of studies in the Scriptures. The first stanza described volume one, the second one volume two, and so on through all six. And it was beautiful poetry, right to the point and fitting to each volume. And I said to Brother, did you compose that poem? And he didn't say yes or no, he just smiled. So I think I know who the poet was. Anyway, we received a blessing by being with these colored friends. The next day, there was a one-day convention in Houston, and Brother Wilmot of Fort Worth was one of the speakers. So I saw him again. Well, then, from Houston and Galveston, our next stop was Taft, Texas, down near the Gulf. And the time is so limited that I can't tell you the experiences we had there, although I would like to. Then after that came San Antonio, then Austin, Texas, out in the country 11 miles from Austin with Brother and Sister Morris, Samuel Morris. Then came Waco, and there was a one-day convention in Waco. When we reached Waco, there was a terrible storm raging, wind and lightning and rain. The rain came down in torrents. Well, Brother Wilmot was there. He was the one that made the arrangements for the convention. He'd come from Fort Worth, young Brother Wilmot. And so he said, this weather must be a test on our faith. Well, the weather cleared off in about an hour or two, and then we had our little one-day convention, and Samuel Baker gave the public talk, and it was one of the best public talks I've ever heard. There was a woman there. She said, I have never heard anything like that. It revolutionizes all my thinking. So before she went away, she bought Volume 1 and 2 of the Studies in the Scriptures and took them with her. Well, from Waco then, you remember perhaps Waco is a place that was visited by a tornado in 1953. It killed over 100 people there and leveled some buildings. Well, we were right near a five-story building that had been completely leveled by that storm. Well, then from Waco, Brother Wilmot took us to Fort Worth, his hometown. Brother Samuel Baker and I were provided a hotel, and we stayed together in the same room for 3 days. That gave me a chance to become acquainted with Brother Samuel Baker, and it was a blessing to me. From Fort Worth, Brother Wilmot one night took us to Gustine, 104 miles and back. One night, we held a meeting in that place. And, by the way, Brother Wilmot goes there once a month to conduct meetings, 104 miles and back again. Our next stop was Bowie, Texas, then Nakona. At Nakona, we're out in the country on a farm, 170-acre farm. The brother and sister there have 3 oil wells on the farm, and that's the only production they have from that farm. And they took me to a place 20 miles from there for a meeting, besides the two or three meetings there at their place. Our next stop was Ada, Oklahoma, then Stigler, Oklahoma, then the Muskogee, and then Tulsa and Fayetteville, Arkansas. I would like to tell how I came to go to Fayetteville, but I haven't time. Well, then our next stop was Carthage, Missouri, then Galena, Kansas, and Galena became acquainted with Brother and Sister Magison, and it was a wonderful privilege to be in their home. Perhaps some of you know the Magisons. From Galena, our next stop was Wichita. Here in Wichita, it is our privilege to be in the home of young Brother and Sister Borwick. Brother Borwick had been called away to Detroit that day. He had to go by plane. So when I reached the house, I found a note on the front door. It says, Brother Swanson, I had to take Brother Borwick to the plane. You go in and make yourself at home. I had never been there before. So I went in, made myself at home. In about half an hour, Sister Borwick came home, and I was supposed to speak in 2 different groups there, that night there, and the next night in another group. Well, the second group canceled the date, so I had both days at the Borwick home. And so then, the next night, Brother Borwick was due home on the plane at 11 o'clock, and we went down and met the plane, and when he came home, we had fellowship till 1 o'clock at night before we went to bed. And he is a musician. He's a composer, too. And he has a Hammond electric organ. And he played one of his compositions and several hymns. And I enjoyed it very much. Well, anyhow, we have a warm invitation to come back. And these dear friends at Wichita, about 6 of them, some of them are 20 miles away, they held a 3-day convention in the month of May. Those few friends held a convention. All right, I must hasten on. From Wichita, our next stop was Enid, Oklahoma. Here, when I got off the bus, I was amazed to be met by three big men. And they were amazed at me. They saw that the name was Swanson, and they supposed it was a big raw-boned Swede. And I was the only one that was stepped off the train that they met. Well, these dear friends have recently become free from that association that calls itself the Channel. And you can imagine how happy they are. They are as happy as larks. They were in that institution many years. And the thing that did the most to free them was that booklet called The Grace of Jehovah. And we spent 2 days together there, having a feast of reason and a flow of soul. And those three same big men took me back to the train, and they bid me Godspeed and said, come back. So you see what a blessing it was to be with them. And they're rejoicing in the truth. And incidentally, it's a peculiar thing that they have given or sent all the copies they could to all the friends with whom they had been associated within the Channel. And it's a peculiar thing that they said since that time they have not seen the representative standing on the street corners with a magazine in their hand. Perhaps they've resumed their practice by this time. But anyhow, you can see how the truth is working among those friends, too. All right, then, we'll have to hasten on. Oklahoma City was next. There, dear old Sister Wilson is. Sister Wilson and Brother Wilson went along on that tour in 1912 when Brother Russell made a tour around the world. If you have the old towers of 1912, you will find a group picture in one of them of that group who went to Palestine and around the world, and Brother and Sister Wilson are in that picture. Well, Sister Wilson is 96 years of age, and she's in a nursing home because she broke her hip a year or so ago. But anyhow, we had the privilege of seeing her, and we have the privilege of remembering her in our prayers. From Oklahoma City, our next stop was Electra, Texas, then La Mesa, Texas. We had been in La Mesa before, so it was like a homecoming to come there again. We stayed there 2 days, and in the evening of each day, there were brethren there who came both evenings, 40 miles away and 70 miles away, to be at the meeting. Portales, New Mexico was next, and there it was a privilege to be a guest of Sister Detweiler, whose husband used to be in the Pilgrim Service. She's living there. Her husband died a number of years ago. He finished his course, and we trust that he is an overcomer. From Portales, the next stop was Albuquerque, then Tucson, Arizona, Yuma, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and last of all, San Diego. San Diego was the last stop. And then the next day, after being in San Diego, we went home to Los Angeles and Pasadena. And since that time, we spent 2 months getting ready to come out again. And the Lord has opened the way, and he's provided someone to live in the house, pay us a little rent, while Sister Swanson is living in Pasadena with Rachel while I'm gone. And she said to me, I hope you can be home by Christmas. So we don't know what lies ahead. And so, dear friends, the Lord knows. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I may be more humble, more faithful, and more courageous in declaring the truth and helping the friends to maintain their hold of this wonderful truth. Thank you.
I'm sure we would like to have been with you in every stop you made, Brother Swanson. I was getting homesick the time you got to Pittsburgh. Really so when you got to New Jersey. But the Lord blesses his people with all spiritual blessings, and wasn't it wonderful to hear how most of these spiritual blessings are right down-to-earth experiences. The Lord has his ways of just handling every situation, and we rejoice to see Brother Swanson so appreciative of all these favors from the Lord. We really know that it's blessed his heart and it blessed us hearing him. Did you have a closing hymn, Brother Swanson?
260.
260? 260. You want all four verses? Or?
Suit yourself, Brother. You know how much time we have.
Let's sing the first and last then, 260.